Hi, I'm Erica Farber, President and CEO of the R&B, and welcome to Radio on Main Street, the podcast all about radio. In April, we attended the annual NAB show in Las Vegas, and during that five-day period, we had the opportunity to sit down and talk with many broadcast executives and thought leaders about their focus and plans for the year. Again, big thanks to Enco and Benstown for allowing us to record Radio on Main Street live in their exhibit booth every day of the convention. In our eighth episode of this continuing series, we hear the conversation I had with Julie Kane, owner and president of Lenawee Broadcasting. And as you will hear, Julie is geeked on radio.
So it was a family company. My father put the station on the air in 1965, and I came to work in 1985. He passed away in 1990, and I took over the company. And
growing up, did you have any thoughts about being in broadcasting?
No. In fact, I wanted to get as far away from the city I live in as humanly possible. My actual education, I have a degree in industrial and labor relations and political science, so which has served me well being a small business owner.
Right.
But ultimately, I did not desire that. I went to work because unemployment was very high when I graduated from college, and that was 38 years ago. So here I am. So.
And you continue to grow the company.
Yes. Yep. In 2019, we put another station on the air, a sports station. And then 3 months later, COVID hit and all the sports in the world ceased to exist. So that was probably one of my biggest challenges. But we weathered that storm, we made the investment, and we saw it through. And then the next year, we bought two more radio stations. So, and this year, we are going to be launching an online TV station.
You're one busy person.
Yeah. It's busy, but it's fulfilling. And you know, I figure in all these years, I don't really have anything else to do.
That I know is not true, but I love the thought that for you, this is a growth business.
It is. You know, it's funny because one of the people in our company said, you know, the only people talking about the demise of radio are the radio people. She said, and she's a young person.
Sure.
She said those are the only people. She said it's very viable, and I just see so much opportunity. There's so much opportunity for us, but we have to really embrace the opportunity. And there's growing pains and challenges with anything, because anything that's good is hard to get through. But in the end, the harder it is, the better the outcome.
Right. Well, you have such an amazing reputation. You truly do. And the other thing I find so inspiring about you is you're very involved in the industry as well. So not only are you a small business owner, but you care about the business of the business.
Yes. You know, I think everybody has some rent to pay in the world, and I feel like giving back to the industry is rent to pay. Whether it's mentoring other people, I've had some amazing mentors in this business, and people who have pushed me to be involved in leadership positions, and it's very fulfilling. And I hope that people see me as a small market person and say, well, if a small market person can do it, you know, anybody can do it. And so there's so much innovation in every market. And sometimes I feel like a lot of the innovation comes from the smaller markets.
Right.
Where people are willing to try things, you know, sometimes purely for survival, but they're willing to try things, and those things end up being successful.
Well, and you're such a reflection of your local community that you will see a need or an opportunity, and you just jump on it.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're in a market. We have 56 radio signals that come into our market.
That's astounding.
Yeah, we're in a triangle with Detroit, Toledo, Lansing, Indianapolis. So in order to set ourselves, you know, you can get music anywhere you want it.
Right.
Especially now. But to set ourselves apart from everyone else, hyperlocalism is our success.
Mm-hmm. So what are the big issues that you're focused on that, you know, there's so many issues that affect our
industry and our stations, but is there a specific issue that you feel as an industry we should really be laser focused on, if you will, that if we work together, we can overcome an objective?
Well, I think there are two issues that come to my mind. One is the AM radio issue and AM radios and vehicles.
Right.
You know, I live in the shadow of big stations in Detroit that are AM stations, you know, and you look at
some legendary stations
and people consume a lot of AM radio. And an interesting fact, when we had a significant ice storm about a month ago in our community, 3/4 of an inch of ice. So we had no electricity, no internet for over a week. So I had people calling the radio station and saying, "We're sitting in our car listening to the radio."
Obviously, it wasn't an electric car.
No, it wasn't an electric car, but they're sitting in their car listening to the radio, charging their phone in the car because they don't have a radio in their house. So and they have no internet,
right.
So they're not streaming. And so public safety-wise, it's very significant, in addition to the fact that, you know, some of the stations, some of the AM stations are, you know, the head of the food chain in EAS. And so those are issues that are all going to have to be addressed, because it is public safety.
Right.
And it's a community issue.
Yes.
Some small markets, that's all they have is a standalone AM radio station.
That's right.
And maybe an FM translator, but they don't get the reach that those AM radio stations get. So that's a significant point. And I think the recruitment issue, which we've all talked about, is significant. And where we will be as an industry, we have to really promote radio as a career destination, whether it's on the air, in sales, wherever it is.
Just new talent
new
to the
talent,
business.
Yeah. For sure, because, you know, we're all, you know, everyone ages out eventually.
Well, and I know recruitment is something that's really important to you, and you're very involved with us at the RAB. Can you share some thoughts about some of the things that you're thinking about in your company that we could all learn from and possibly implement in our markets?
For recruitment?
For recruitment, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I think one of the big things that we're working on, and I had an interview with a young man just a couple weeks ago, and he was looking for a sales internship. And when I interviewed him, he said, "I didn't even realize that you sold things here." So I said, "Whoa, that was a light bulb that went on over my head."
Sure.
And so I was talking to one of our team members, and now we're looking at some initiatives with, I don't know if you're familiar with BNI, it's a local networking organization, and they're in markets all over the United States, mm-hmm. and working with their BNI group to develop a career fair in a box, because they have many people from many industries in their organization,
right?
And they're all in that situation where, how do we get people, whether it's tradespeople, you know, they're all in that spot. So we're working on right now developing a career fair in a box that we can take out to local high schools when they do their career days.
Right.
And we can just tell them, we will come and do this for you. And so I think the more we can educate people on what's available in our industry, the better. 'Cause if you're a college senior and you don't know that we sell things, then we have the problem.
Well, that's so funny. Sometimes we're so close to
right.
it, it's so obvious we don't even see
it.
That's so funny. Well, and you know, you talk about recruitment. It's been such a growth category from a revenue standpoint.
Yes.
And we sometimes don't even use our own airwaves to promote our own companies.
And that's very true. And I think we're negligent of that, not using our own airwaves, not just for recruitment, but also for promoting ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, we're often not our own biggest cheerleader when we should be, because we have the giant megaphone to talk about things. But we actually, a recent person that's coming to us, she found us on our Facebook with a Facebook ad. So, you know, you have a lot of resources at your hands because you use those for your clients.
Right.
So you need to use those for
yourselves
as well.
So you look ahead, what are you most excited about? Oh, a million things. we're going to be reformatting one of our stations. So we're going to do a real rebranding and reformatting and putting an unconventional format on an AM station.
Well, that's intriguing.
And then we're going to be launching an online TV station. But beefing up, you know, making sure our news, we have a station that is kind of a community station. We do a lot of news on that station. I think that there's a lot of fatigue in news, and I think that people get tired of the fake news and the social media news and all of these things that may or may not be real. And I think as broadcasters and journalists, it's our responsibility to make sure, as long as we can do it, we will always have a local news department. I think it's important to keep, you know, elected officials accountable. I think it's important to keep our community informed and to provide things that are real.
Well, and in many local communities, we're the last place. You know, the local newspapers are diminishing in leaps and bounds, and there are still local television stations, but the younger audience, they're not even looking at television anymore.
It's Hulu, you know, and
paid services, yeah.
Paid services, yeah. You know, and I think people say that young people don't always tune in, but in my experience, once people become invested in their community, once they, you know, settle down, buy a home, then once they care about what's happening at their school board,
right,
once they care about what's happening, those people are coming because they want to know what's happening, and they want news that they can rely on. So I think that's super important. As an industry, we really need to be responsible to the citizens.
So I don't know about you, but I find it hard to believe that we're already in the second quarter of the year. So from a revenue standpoint, how does the year look to you? What's going on financially?
Well, our first quarter was good.
Great.
So I can't complain. There were multiple factors in that, which there always are. And where we're going forward this year, you know, I think that there might be a little bit of fatigue out there with the economy, but I think as we develop things for our clients that will work for them, that are special, you know, we're presenting ideas, we're not presenting spots.
Right.
When we really take good care of our clients.
They're
making an investment.
Yeah.
Right? You know, I always say with the sales team, you have to ask for enough to be important. You know, don't ask for how much money they're spending on coffee in their waiting room. We're looking to be partners and partners with them. And our advertisers can leverage our reputations in the community. So I think it's just maybe looking at things a little bit differently. Sometimes with our team, we have so many things to offer that, you know, it becomes a little challenging when you're going in a million different directions. So I think that's kind of a way to focus and just developing campaigns for clients.
And, you know, we're seeing it here. We hear it all the time. Everybody's talking about digital. Mm-hmm. You know, how is digital affecting your operations?
Well, you know, we have our own digital services within the company.
Right.
But I think people are coming to realize that, you know, Facebook is not a marketing plan. You know, especially small businesses. Well, I'm just going to open my doors and I'm going to post it on Facebook and everyone will come. Well,
right.
You know, only the people you engage with will. And you know, we've proven time and time again that radio really drives search. We've proven it, you know, in individual campaigns in our market that it drives it by over 100%. And so I think the combination is really what will drive business growth for our customers.
How is your sales staff structured? Because, you know, in many cases, as stations got more and more involved with digital, they would take a traditional radio seller and say, now you're going to sell digital. And it wasn't as successful as they would like.
Yeah.
Well, we do. I mean, all of our team sells all of our products, whether
right.
it's any of our stations or digital. And we have a director of digital, a person who, you know, helps put campaigns together and things like that, and comes up with ideas for clients. And so in that way, that's what I said, it is a little bit challenging sometimes because we are selling a lot of products.
Right.
But I think it helps because the salespeople know the client the best, so they know what would be important for their marketing structure.
Right.
With the products that we offer.
That's great. And it's empowering them to mm-hmm. really provide concrete solutions.
Yes.
You know, it's a great opportunity. So if you could think of one change on the horizon that could affect our industry, what would that be from your perspective?
I think AI is going to be a very significant, and I think it can be a great tool for us, helping us write creative copy or things like that. But I also think we have to be very careful with copyright. And I think there's going to be a lot of things that are going to come down the pike that we're going to have to just be super careful with. And I'm not that person that wants to replace announcers with AI because I think the value with our stations is in having that personal connection with our announcers. They see them, we go out to different events, and they have a personal bond with the people on our team. So I think that that's super important. And you know, a chatbot's not going to get it, so.
I don't think so either. So we need to embrace and learn and figure it out. Mm-hmm. So if you could finish the sentence, radio matters because?
Radio matters because we take care of our communities with radio. I mean, that's such a big part for us. It really does. And I think about what would happen to our community if our radio stations weren't there. We don't have television stations, and we're the ones that are there in emergencies. We're the ones that are there to entertain people and keep people company and inform them and entertain them, and it matters for community.
And radio works because?
Because it works. Radio really works. Radio works for our clients. Radio works for our community. Radio works as a career destination. I'm geeked on radio.
I love that. Geeked on radio. Well, I know you've got a crazy schedule. You and I have a session.
We do.
Shortly, yep. Which I'm looking forward to. But I so appreciate you stopping by and letting us chat for a little while. And continued great success.
Well, thank you.
Julie shared her biggest issue today centers around AM radio. And as we heard, it's not just a safety issue, but a community issue as well for so many local areas. Radio takes care of our communities, and we're the ones that are truly out there. She also shared the need for the industry to promote radio as a career destination for the next generation. Our local stations need to be cheerleaders for the industry as we have this incredible megaphone and should use it wisely.
If you'd like to learn more about radio and its many benefits, we invite you to visit us at rab.com, or you can email us directly at askrab@rab.com. Until next time, it's Radio on Main Street.